was given to me quite late in the afternoon, to be found in Psalm 42. It is the middle clause in both verses 5 and 11. Hope thou in God. Psalm 42, the middle clause of either verse 5 or verse 11. I do hope that the Lord will prove to me that I have ventured with this word because of hoping in His mercy, hoping in His promised help. I had until then expected to come with a very different word to you this evening, and on investigation found I had used it so recently, and consequently I was found in this condition. Lord, what word wilt thou give? What word may I go with? Thou knowest my need, wilt thou graciously supply it? And this drops in. Hope thou in God. It's a good word. A piece of scriptural instruction. It has been the establishing point of many a poor sinner in distress, has this brief word, hope thou in God. It directs the eyes and the mind and the desires to the right one. You can't have this word applied and fail to look up to where God is. Said the psalmist in another place, I will look up unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I would like, if the Lord will help me, to reveal a little that which goes before, which reveals the condition at that time of the psalmist to some extent. And one thing that it does prove so clearly is that the psalmist was by no means an unexercised man. He was under considerable exercise and under considerable distress. I wonder how often we would be able to say with him, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Has it ever occurred to us? Have we ever been able to say it? The Lord knows. And I believe we do well to leave the matter in His hands while seeking that there may perhaps be a little keener feeling of desire after Him, more frequently felt when we come into the sanctuary, and even when we're about our daily tasks. He says further, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Well, it seems fairly clear that he was shut away from the means of grace for time. Unwillingly too. He would have been there. His heart was there. His desires were there. But for a time, evidently, he is shut away. He wishes to come and appear before God. Now this evening, we are gathered here, our favorite, aren't we? We have the means of grace. Oh, may the Lord bless us in the means and cause that we may presently find, whatever our individual circumstances may be this evening, that our hope is indeed in Him. It appears that his experience was one of considerable sorrow. I understand the psalmist to have been a strong man, no weakling, that is to say physically, but a man of war. And therefore, whatever trouble he was in must have been acute, very keen, very heavy. He says, "My tears have been by me day and night." Therefore, he was greatly disturbed, greatly distressed. But while I was musing a little on his condition, I found it had a parallel in the apostle's words, "Cast down, but not destroyed." No child of God is destroyed whose hope is still in God, whose eyes are upon him, and their expectations still from that great God of mercy. Yet you see, he begins to, I wouldn't miss it that, "They continually say unto me, where is my God?" So he had enemies who were taunting him with the absence of his God, trying to convince him that his helper had left him to stand on his own and meet his own troubles. You know anything about this? We may not have human enemies today who say this. We still are troubled, I believe, some of us very greatly with that arch enemy who is ever ready to say, "He's left you. Your God has forsaken you." Though he said he wants to forsake his children, he has you, which goes to prove, of course, that you're mistaken. You're just a hypocrite, outside of the secret. And if this is the case, well, one could understand that day and night you'll be in sorrow until the gracious Lord appears. And yet you will have to finally come to this, "Hope thou in God." Where else can one place one's hope, even in the darkest hour, but in him who has appeared in the past, when you and I may perhaps feel a measure of consolation in the thought we were no more deserving of his kindness then than we are now. Yet it came freely, and so your hope will be raised up that still that Lord who has come to your aid before, that God who has proved to be gracious, will yet again return and bless you, lift you out of this despondency, clear the way for you so that you may presently see that there is still reason to hope in God because of his unchanging nature, his immutability. He remembered things, and the remembrance of them caused him to be much more earnest in prayer. So you see, the exercise was not without fruit. He said, "I pour out my soul in me." What could he have done better? And you have been in similar case, perhaps for different reasons, as the psalmist appears to be in this evening. Will I feel sure have done just that same thing? You will find that in another place the psalmist says, "Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us." He remembers too that he had gone with the multitude, with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. But it would seem that he was in the condition and was ready to say, "But things are so very different now. I see not my signs, I feel not thy nearness, I cannot see the way that I should take. I see thee shut off and left cold and outwardly in distress. And yet he asks the question, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Well, you will find, if you carefully search the scriptures, that there are very many examples of the wisdom of committing all your case by prayer and supplication unto that God of mercy, who has promised to hear his people when they call unto him, especially when they call in trouble, and has promised to deliver them. And this should be surely a ground for hope, a foundation upon which to build one's hope. I have felt too, in considering this brief scripture, hope thou in God. It does need to be a well-founded and well-grounded hope. If God has given me hope, it will prove good. It will be that hope which one sung of in the hymn, "The Christian's hope shall never fail." But there are times you will say, and I have to say too, that one's hope gets very low. But then, when we really consider, or should carefully consider, in whom our hope is, I believe when once we can feel assured that our hope is still in God, that hope will be revived. It will be operative again. It will be that cheerful virtue which hope is described as being, that which revives, supports, and increases and enlivens faith, because it does at times seem somewhat helpful, instructive, if we remember how closely those two gifts of God are allied together. Indeed, they are so closely related as to be inseparable. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so this hope will prove presently to be that which is springing from the faith that God has given. And when once you may lay hold of this, that you are favored with faith in God, hope in God will follow. And what will you hope in God? Well, there's so much that one can hope in that I hardly know where to begin. I seem to need special help at this moment as to how I should bring before you reasons for hoping in God because of what he is or what he has or what he can do. Though that last part mentioned is the easiest, because it's easy and simple and quite truthful to say there is nothing that he cannot do if it be his will. And so I believe you will go before God in this particular trouble, whatever it is, with this hope that he will do that which he clearly can do. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Well, if you really analyze this and consider the many things we have and do ask him for, it will magnify his power to do, power to deliver, power to uphold, power to clear the way. I have wondered whether I ought to first deal with hoping God if the trouble that some may have is providential first, and then help try to touch on what might be someone's trouble, a spiritual matter. I shall need help in this, but he is able to give it. I pray he will. I further feel and have felt as I've come along this evening that if that word did come from heaven, from God, and dropped into my mind and heart, I believe, for a while, seeming quite clearly to be the subject for this evening, there must be some reason for this. You see, I didn't settle. The word didn't come, as it does in verse 5 of the next psalm, hope in God. No, it was quite clearly, hope thou in God. Now this makes the matter personal for someone. I hope it's for me. But I believe as the messenger, I hope I am, there must be someone for whom this message is intended. The Lord knows why and what for, and I know not. But there is the message, and I'd be honored if, I should feel honored if that message reaches the person that God has in view and in mind to encourage to trust in him still. So whatever it is, let us suppose it's providential, some very difficult, trying matter, a heavy task, a large responsibility, or perhaps some family care. I know not, but the Lord knows, and if there are, or if there is one in the house of God this evening with some special trouble, something which is causing them distress, it might even be that it's been the cause of tears being shed day and night at times. The word is still the same this evening, my friend or friends. Hope thou in God. He's able to clear this matter for you, help you through it, strengthen you to bear it. The apostle tells us clearly on one occasion that after a very, very great revelation, he was given a messenger from Satan to buffet him, a thorn in the flesh. And then he tells us why. Lest I should be exalted above measure. But in spite of this, and knowing why, he asks the Lord Christ for its removal. Nothing in my text to indicate that the Lord will immediately remove the trouble or clear the way, whatever is the trouble, or immediately appear in your family care if that is the case. But what he does say is, hope thou in God. And that should be enough, because this indicates that God is going to work. Yes, he's going to work. He's going to undertake your cause. If he sends you this message, I feel honored, I feel greatly blessed if I could receive such a word concerning a certain matter which lies on my mind constantly. There's no other expectation but that it shall do so until the Lord appears, for the work can only be done by him. And so if you're in the same case and have this matter which could be described as a crook in the lock or some stumbling block. Oh, I find in the Word of God a sweet promise that he will make crooked things straight and rough places plain. For his people, even though for a while he allows them to feel great distress and get very low in their feelings, for After having quoted this, in the very next verse, the poor man says, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. It still is." I feel that perhaps some of you may have gone through this experience, even after you've received the word to encourage you to look up to your helper. You may find that the burden is still there, the trouble is still there, and you feel as helpless in the matter as you did before. But you've not been asked to do anything. All you've been instructed is, "Hope thou in God." Well, I believe there are cases in the Word of God, I wish one would come actually to mind, where one has been enabled to leave the matter entirely in the hands of God, which worked well in God's good time. Now, I do believe there are circumstances which concern us. Hope we are the children of God. And there are occasions when we come to this point, it's time we did something. It's time we took some action in this. It's time that matters were put right and we'd better see about it. And there is a word which says it is time for thee, Lord, to work. And I have wondered whether we need much grace and discernment and great care in saying that. How are we to know? How are we to know? The circumstances may point that way, and we may have come to such a condition when, in spite of our desire to do something, we find nothing we can do. But I believe we need to go before God very carefully and say it's time for Him to work. For I believe that this message might indicate that hope possesses that which is called a waiting grace, you know. And hope still hopes on in face of disappointment. I believe that we may live to prove who this word concerns, that it is from the appointed time when the Lord will appear, and it may not be our time. Now, I left the illustration of the apostles' experience and want to return to it. The Lord wasn't silent to it. No, that word starts so clearly in this very loving and condescending way, "And He said unto me." You believe that's a great condescension on the part of God toward a poor needy sinner, that He should both hear and answer and clearly speak, "Said unto me." Now, if you've ever been in that condition, you'll know what it is to feel supported. You will be able to feel, "Heard my prayer. He's going to do something for me." When He answers in such a way as that, you may be sure that you have gained His ear, received His kind attention. He is granting you an answer. But what was it? Not that He would remove the thorn at all at any time. No. But He did say, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And if this thorn that you're troubled with brings you to a state of weakness, don't despair. My strength is made perfect in weakness. But it will need the grace that was given to the apostles to go on and say, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather bear my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Yet this is the right attitude, I feel sure, and it does indicate clearly a strong hope in God through faith in His name and faith in His power. Now, I believe, as well as hoping in the ability of God and His power to perform all that He has ever promised to do for His people, we may well trust in his love, because all that he does for his children springs from this rich fountain, the fountain of his love. We may hope in this. We may take this perhaps for a word of encouragement and support. Whom once he loves, he never leaves, but loves them to the end. He's still the same yesterday and today and forever. Hope thou in God, whose love changes not, and whose love is eternal like he is himself. And because he loves, and because you have previously had some indication in your life that you're his child, automatically therefore he is your father. May you not hope in the love of a heavenly father who is too wise to err and too good to be unkind. May you not hope too in his mercy. Does not his mercy endure forever? Has not the psalmist given utterance to this time after time in the psalm? For his mercy endureth forever. You may hope then that mercy will reach your case ere long. He is disposed to be merciful to his children. He has left it on record in his word that he delighteth in mercy. It's a wonderful thing for us that this is so. We who need his mercy so much may hope in it. Hope in the God of mercy. Hope in the God of hope. This was, of course, the reason why I read the portion that I did. Now the God of hope, for you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of this Holy Ghost. Abound in hope. This is the work of God himself. And there is a question in the hymn which seems appropriate here. Who can give us hope? Why, the God of hope. And consequently, as hope is in his hand to give, he will give that which is needful to enable you to do what he himself tells you to do. Hope thou in God, in his unfailing mercy. He is also a God full of loving kindness. So much so that one composed a hymn on that blessed subject, his loving kindness. May we not hope that it is still the same, changes not, still remains, though we have him oft forgot, though we have strayed, though we have offended him, though the trouble we are now in might easily be self-procured, his loving kindness changes not. And so we may hope that still his dealings with us and toward us will flow to us from his loving kindness. Hope thou in God, because of his clearly revealed will in the Word of God. Is there one word in the whole of the Scriptures which could be construed as indicating that the Lord would be willing for one of his children to fall by the way and perish? I believe you will never find such a word. Now I tell you the word you will find, and it fell from the lips of the Lord Jesus, and we ought to bless God for it. There's every reason for hope here. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is his will and mind and purpose, has been before, since before the world began. The election of grace the children in the covenant of grace will all be safely brought through the pilgrimage journey, through this wilderness of life, into his heavenly promised land. Hope, thou in God, all needed grace will be given. All needed faith will be bestowed by the giver of these good and perfect gifts. All needed strength is promised. As thy days, so thy strength be. So if you're weak and feeling weak and insufficient for the task before you, hope, thou in God. The word in the psalm says, as I quoted before, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And therefore, hope thou in God, however weak and insufficient you may feel and unable to cope with the task before you, or bear the difficulty that is upon you, or still pursue and still trust when things look as if they're going completely opposite to your hopes and what you had expected would occur. Think of Joseph and take courage until his word came, until his time came. The word of the Lord tried him. And there have been many in a similar case for differing reasons, of course, but the Lord has appeared at length. Though he tarried, though the promise that you have been given may seem to tarry beyond all your ideas of the appointed time, wait for it. As indicated, I hope rightly, that in this brief word this evening is an indication of waiting and the need for waiting grace. Hope thou in God. Wait hopefully. Hopefully wait for his appearing with that measure of faith in your heart to believe that he will appear at length at the appointed time, which will prove to be the best time finally. I have said, that's why I try to be cautious today. I've said in the past, it's time for thee, Lord, to work, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't the Lord's time, it was my idea of his time. But when he did appear, it was the best time and the right time. Best for me and best for others. Hope thou in God, in his wisdom. And other, no. His wisdom is supreme. His knowledge is such that it could only result in wisdom, because perfect knowledge makes wise, doesn't it? And God's knowledge is, well, it extends to foreknowledge. As well as knowing the end from the beginning, he knows all the circumstances and all the varying dispensations through which all his children pass. I know this is incomprehensible to the human mind, but we have the word that all things are possible with God, and I hope we believe it, so we may hope in his wisdom. Which of course brings me to that word, a word that has been a help sometimes to me, and I hope it will be to you, especially if you are in difficulty and don't feel to have the necessary wisdom to deal with it yourself. Hope thou in God, for what his wisdom sees most fit must be surely best for you and me. Surely best. If his wisdom has designed this or that for you, be assured it is for your good and his glory in the final. Hope thou in God. But you see, there are the spiritual concerns, and there are so little that I can say about these, so few things. My own way is hidden. I know not what the morrow may bring in this, but we do know this, that there is one in whom our hope is certainly placed, and where I do venture to hope it will remain until hope is no longer needed in sight. You will realize that my thoughts have gone to three words in the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 15. Those three words are hope in Christ. Hope in Christ. Now I do believe that I may safely state that all the children of God, when under the teaching of the Spirit, will be given this hope in Christ. This is the Spirit's work after conviction, to give hope in the salvation wrought out by Jesus Christ, and to impart in the heart of another sinner a hope that it was for him or her. Hope in Christ. And the word, of course, in the full of it is, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But what child of God is there now who has hope in Christ, who does not know at the same time that it extends beyond the grave to life eternal? That there is this blessed expectation which belongs to the righteous and is really their main hope. Whatever hope they have of God's intervention, His appearing, His deliverance, His guiding hand, His undertaking for them in things providential, when it comes to things spiritual, their hope extends beyond the grave and embraces hope of eternal life. So to possess hope in Christ is also to have hope thou in God. Because you sung a sweet truth this evening when you sung, if I don't quote it quite correctly, that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost to say their souls are all concerned. And so we have in this brief word this evening equal hope in Christ, in His work, in His sufferings, in His death, in His resurrection, His conquest over death and hell, in His ascension, in His present intercession and mediation. What large ground, what widespread ground there is for hope in Christ. He is all sufficient, has all that is sufficient for the salvation of every elect vessel of mercy. And if you have that blessed hope, it will presently prove to be, as the word describes, an anchor. It will hold you fast and close to Christ and to God who sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And for that blessed Spirit's work, do we not need to hope in God the Spirit, without whose hope and revelation and application we can know nothing savingly of the Lord Jesus Christ or of God? Yet you see, our hope is really based in the words of Jesus when He said, and this is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. So if you have, and I have, some graciously revealed knowledge of the Father and the Son, through the revelation and the instruction of the Spirit, our hope may well be centered in a three-one God. And so, may I come to this as the final, whatever distress we may be in at any time, be it providential or spiritual, that which concerns us in this life or in the life to come, the best remedy for us when we feel we are sinking below and beyond all the help of man and all our own fancies, helping ourselves or wisdom of our own, let this brief word which I hope God sent me with this evening be in your hearts and uppermost in your mind. Hope thou in God. Such a hope will never be misplaced. Such a hope, since it is in God and all that God is, has and can do, it honors God, and he will therefore recompense those who put their trust in him through hoping in his love, mercy, wisdom, power, and loving kindness in all that Jesus Christ has wrought as well. So I say we've a firm ground, a wonderful foundation for hoping in God. And I'll just leave you now there.